Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition on Meditating on the Word of God. As you know, we are now in the middle of the year in June, and in 2021, I want to reference back where we've been in this journey since the beginning in January. In January, we talked about the zeal of the Lord, which is important as we begin the year. In February, we talked about wisdom and how wisdom is necessary, for zeal without wisdom is dangerous. In March, we talked about the kingdom of God, which is really what is all about. Zeal is seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. In April, we talked about the Holy Spirit, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And finally, in May, last month, we talked about relationships. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and the whole point of having that fruit is so we can thrive in our relationships. Today, as we enter the middle point of the year in June, I want to give you not a theme for the month, but a hodgepodge of messages that are important for us to navigate the year. The first one being offenses. Offenses can be dangerous, as you will see in the stories I'm about to unfold. I want to entitle this message, God Offended, because many times we can get offended either by relatives, friends, office mates, people we work with, or God Himself. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 19, it says, "A brother is more unyielding than a strong, an offended brother is more unyielding than a strong city, and a quarreling is like the bars of a castle." Notice, a brother offended. Many times, the people who are close to us are the ones that cause the greatest offense. When somebody has, generally speaking, when somebody has comments about me, it doesn't really affect me as much as when it is a brother or somebody who's close to me. And what happens next is it's a more unyielding than a strong city. Think about how you can now lose relationships with somebody who's very close to you simply because of an offense. A quarreling is like the bars of a castle, preventing people from being able to keep those relationships. That can happen from God being kept away from you, or you being kept away from the relationships that you have in your life. God could be one of the supreme places where people can get offended, as we will see in Scripture. One of the main stories in the Bible that we find this is in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. Notice where it says Cain was very angry because he wasn't favored. Now, God did not totally reject his offering. He just didn't favor it as much as He did Abel's. Now, the offering was, one was salad and the other one was lamb chops. The point being, God preferred an offering that was made of fat portions with blood in it because it signified the reality of the seriousness of the righteousness that comes from an offering of blood. Notice where it says in verse 5, "But Cain and his offering, he did not look in favor, and he was very angry." One of the first places you will find to understand if you are harboring an offense, how do you know when you're offended, is when it starts with anger issues. Anger itself is not a sin. In fact, the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. It is when our anger becomes out of control that we start sinning, when our temper tantrums begin to take a hold of us. The starting point to finding out whether you're genuinely or not offended really with other people is check your anger level. Some people have been offended with God because of last year. "Wake me up in 2021 was a motto. In other words, forget 2020. Wake me up in 2021 because God did not come through for me. An offense like that can distance you from God. And some people are actually saying, "Wake me up in 2022 because I'm still offended by all the things that are happening around me. God's not delivering for me." In verse 5, it says his face was downcast. How do you know when you're harboring an offense, whether with a brother, a sister, a friend, a boss, or even God Himself? When you have an attitude of being downcast, when you start having tantrums and you start being sullen, it's easy to see superheroes like the Incredible Hulk, the superhero who becomes a superhero when he has an issue of offense against him, or if you're a child. But when you're an adult and you're still having tantrums and sulking, that's not a good thing. For hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. When we bounce back out of offenses and come to the place of understanding that hatred is stirred up, when we have offenses rather than love and walking in the presence of God. Now, further in verse 6, it says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? The Lord is trying to reach out to him. In silence, he does not respond. And when you see a person whose face is angry or his face or even downcast, or there's a sense of this offense, it's hard to reach out to that person. And it isolates that person from the real people who can help him. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 continues, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? God says to him. In other words, how do you know that you are offended? Anger issues, a downcast attitude, and finally, a refusal to do what's right. When you already know that something is right, but you refuse to do it, it's likely that you're truly offended. Verse 7 says, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must not rule over it. But you must rule over it, rather. Notice where it says, sin is crouching at your door. It's a dangerous thing. By the way, in case you didn't know this, this is the first time the word sin is ever mentioned in the entire Bible. And it says it's like a lion or a tiger crouching at your door. We've all seen a wild animal, and we see them in zoos. They're dangerous. When a wild animal begins to crouch and hide, it's dangerous. It's ready for an attack. And it's one thing to be attacked by a wild animal in the wild. It's another thing for a wild animal to be at your door and jumps inside your house. God was warning Cain, be careful. James 1:15 says, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Sin was crouching at the door of Cain because of his offense. It's one thing to stare at the eyes of a lion when he's inside a cage. Totally different thing to stare at the eyes of a lion inside your house. It's a dangerous thing. The danger of being offended is sin is crouching at your door. And when that happens, that can eat you up alive. But the fact of the matter is, it's not going to eat you up alive just yet. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. In short, the danger of being offended is sin is crouching at your door and it will enslave you. When sin enters our hearts because of our offenses, whether towards God or others, it will make us a slave. It will keep us from enjoying life the way it was ordained to be. Verse 9 says, the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he says, I do not know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? God is always asking questions, and notice where now he's a slave to sin. More than just killing his brother, he's now lying to God. In fact, he was not just lying to God. He was smirking at God, giving a tantrum to God, and sulking at God and saying, am I really my brother's nanny? That's what happens when we're offended. It progresses on to something that gets worse and worse, and as you will see later in the story, gets even worse. In verse 10, it says, the Lord says, what have you done? Still God asking for a moment of forgiveness and repentance, for an opportunity to forgive Cain if he would but agree and accept the reality. He says, listen, your brother's blood cries out for me to the ground. Essentially, what happened here is Cain killed his brother and buried him and hid him, thinking that because he's hidden, no one would know. And what he doesn't know is that God knows, and his brother's blood is crying out of the ground. And he says, now you're under a curse and driven from the ground because you won't accept forgiveness, because you won't step up and say, I've been offended and I was wrong. And it's opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. A beautiful paradise, a beautiful field is now a cursed place. When we're offended, a beautiful relationship with God and with others is a blessing. Fact of the matter is, the blessings in life are about relationships. When offenses happen, they become cursed. In verse 12, it says, when you work the ground, when you start trying to work this thing that used to be a blessing, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. The curse on our planet, on our people, is genuinely this idea of becoming a restless wanderer, somebody who's never satisfied. You've watched every Netflix video, you watch everything, you've read just about everything, but still you are unsatisfied. It's the curse of restlessness. The root of that, offenses, an offense against God, an offense against others. When we're not getting the way things, the way we expect it to be, we end up with this curse. The dangers of being offended starts with sin crouching at your door, resulting in us being enslaved and most likely cursed with the curse of restlessness. And finally, sin will harden your heart. Here's what happens next to Cain. In verse 13, it said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." I love this phrase because really, Cain couldn't care about his relationship with God. He was only concerned about the punishment. Be careful when you're offended. Sometimes we deal more about the issue rather than the relationship. And that's really not what it's about. God wants us to have blessed relationships. And that's why He doesn't want us to be offended. "Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence." Notice what He says. He actually knows what's about to happen. "You're going to be hidden from my presence. But I will be a restless wanderer in the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." He knows what's wrong and the curse that's on it. And yet God says, in grace, says, "Not so. Anyone who kills you will suffer vengeance seven times over." The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one would find him or kill him. In other words, God protected him. Now watch this, and this is where it becomes really dangerous. Cain, instead of responding to God's grace, went out from the Lord's presence. His heart has become hard. When offenses are left to fester, when offenses are left to destroy us and we allow sin that's crouching at the door to enter our lives, it makes us enslaved. And more than that, it worsens into a place where our hearts become hardened. Instead of repenting before God and accepting His mercy and grace, he decided to live away from God. I turned 64 last week, and this is a picture of my wife and I who are celebrating our 39th anniversary this year. I have to admit, she has offended me many times, and I've offended her many times. And I have a lot of friends that have offended me. But you know, I've learned the danger of offense. I've learned how this thing could destroy something that's wonderful. And every time we think that we can get away from that, we actually are starting from zero again. When we learn how to know when we're offended, anger issues, downcast attitude, a refusal to do what's right, when we know the dangers of it being of being offended, sin crouching. Imagine that gigantic lion or tiger about to enter your house, and now you're running around with this thing enslaving you. You will harden your heart, and you're going to be wondering, where is God? Why is this thing happening to me? The answer is, how do you overcome offenses? Found in Proverbs 19:11, a person's wisdom yields patience. There you go. Why we need wisdom? Because it gives you patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. I love this verse. I actually grew up with this verse as a Christian, as a believer. A person's wisdom yields patience. That's not me. I want it now. I always want things now. And I had to learn it. Sometimes when I find myself with a bell in the counter, I just did this a few days ago. I walked to an ice cream parlor and there was no person at the counter. I saw the bell and I was tempted to ring, 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 ring. And I would hold back and say, "Joey, patience is wise." Sometimes when I'm walking in the street and I want to press that sign to stop the stoplight, "Joey, one press is enough." Patience gives us a practice. Every time we do this every day, it compounds to better patience and yields greater wisdom. The result is, when we're dealing with others, we have the glory of God because we are able to overlook an offense. How do you overcome offenses? It starts by overlooking it. It starts by saying, "I don't care what you think or if it's too much." But sometimes when you start thinking about offenses, they can be too big. Someone is really chasing after you. It's too frequent. Or maybe it's just too much. It's been going on for years. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:19, "For it is commendable if someone bears under the pain of unjust suffering, offenses, because they are conscious of God." It is commendable for you and I to bear under the pain of some of these offenses, but being conscious of God. So how do you deal with offenses that are too big, too frequent, or too much? Be mindful of God. When we're mindful of God, our offenses shift. In other words, we can overlook offenses when you look to God. You can overlook your offenses when you look to God. That's what I often do. When somebody's offended me, I go and look to God and how God was offended multiple times and yet chose to overlook the offense. And that's why He's the one who deserves all glory. Secondly, how does one really overcome offenses? Well, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it tells us this telling verse. "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him." After removing Saul, he made David their king. Probably one of those epic stories in the entire Bible about offenses and overlooking offenses is the story of a man named David and the king he replaced named Saul. Saul at one point had issues of anger and depression, and he got David, who started singing for him and restored him into better health. Saul once upon a time got into trouble with a giant facing his armies, and David saved him again. Saul was always offended because people were discrediting David, and many times, even after David had served him, he wanted to kill him. More than just trying to kill him when he eluded and escaped, he tried to search for him and brought an entire army to search for him. And at one point, he found him in a cave alone by himself. Instead of killing him, David did not do it. He wouldn't harbor the offense. He cut off his robe and stood in the mountaintop and said, "I could have killed you, but I did not. I chose to overlook the offense." Saul said, "Come home with me." Now, here's an important thing to realize. I'm not telling you to go home with the people who may have offended you, who may have wronged you. It might be as David did. He never came back. But the point is, do not harbor the offense. Move forward, go on your own, forgive the person, and live with God, especially if that's God who offended you. The interesting thing about this story is how David, when Saul was finally killed, even sent men to take his body home and even restored his family into the place of aristocracy in the land. David understood the reality that after Saul, God made David their king, and God testified concerning him, "I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." That's the key if you're going to overlook an offense, to find a man who will do everything as God wants because he knows he's righteous and he's after my own heart. How do you overcome offenses? Start with overlooking it. Next is be a man after God's heart. And finally, in Luke 17, verse 3, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus asked, "Watch yourselves." Jesus was talking to them. "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day or 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Often when we read these verses about faith, the place where that is in this area of offenses. It actually says, he replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree of an offense to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you." When we apply this to our lives, when we understand, number one, start by overlooking the offense. Number two, be a man after God's heart. And number three, exercise faith. Remember, when you're dealing with this thing called offenses, you've got to start by knowing, how do you know that you're offended? You have anger issues? How long have these anger issues been? Do you have a downcast attitude about life? Do you refuse to do what's right? Do you know the dangers of being offended? That sin is crouching at your door and can take over your home and enslave you. It will harden your heart. But you can overcome offenses. How? Start with overlooking it. Be like David and be a man after God's heart. And thirdly, exercise faith. As we end this moment of meditating on the Word of God, I want to proclaim Jesus, and I want you to get a piece of bread and a cup and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, nothing can be more offensive than for your very own creation to reject you and crucify you. And yet, you chose to overlook our offenses against you. Make us a people who will be filled with the wisdom and patience to overlook an offense. Make us a people who will not have the attitude of Cain, but the attitude of David, one who seek after your very own heart. And as you've said, if we have faith, we can see the offenses in our lives uprooted and removed. Therefore, increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.